Well, there was a small smidgen of hope that perhaps sanity is starting to prevail in the BEE story when Gwede Mantashe, who's probably the most powerful person outside of Ramaphosa's office in the ANC, said that, okay, we understand these mining ideas that we've got aren't going to work. We will redraw it. But still on the table is 100 billion rand to be put into a transformation fund, create 100 black industrialists. If it's ever been a bad idea, this is one that's got to be ranking right up there. And Anne Bernstein, the head of the CDE, will be, full name, Center for Development and Enterprise, will be explaining why. Anne, of course, was one of our keynote speakers at the last BizNews conference. And lovely to see you again, Anne. We haven't had a chat since then. But this 100 billion rand fund, can you just explain perhaps a bit of its history, where the idea came from?
Well, earlier this year, the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition released a concept document for comment on the transformation fund. And the idea is this, as written in the document, they want to have a fund which over 5 years is 100 billion rand. This is not a very detailed document. And their thinking is that they want to get this money and have a mega fund that will essentially help small businesses, not the sort of 100 industrialists, but small businesses around the country. It's not crystal clear. And one of our questions is this a capital endowment fund forever, or are you going to run it down in the 5 years? It's not made clear in the fund. It's also not crystal clear that it will be only small business, mainly small business, and a big emphasis on small businesses in rural areas and townships, but not exclusively so, but black owned or initiated firms.
Okay, so this is different to the 100 industrialists story.
Absolutely. Well, one of the problems with this document is it sort of assumes that this is a good idea, and it doesn't tell you what's going wrong or what's going right with existing funds, either the National Empowerment Fund or the Black Industrialist Fund. So it doesn't assess why we need this particular fund. It just jumps into a mega fund is a good idea and a state-directed approach to helping to promote a much greater sector of dynamic black businesses is that the state is the right actor to do this. It's sort of assumed. So there are lots of assumptions in this document, and I can't answer your question because the document doesn't.
So what is it about 100 billion, I wonder, with these guys? 100 billion, they're going to go for 100 black industries, and another 100 billion. Yeah, it's like you throw it around. 100 billion is a lot of money.
100 billion is a lot of money. The idea is 20 billion a year, we think, but it's not clear, Alex. So we, in fact, our document on this, which says Right Goal, Wrong Approach, that's its title, we've organized it around what we know and what we don't know. So there are lots more questions than answers. And essentially, let me start by saying that I think CDE, like most South Africans, would like a much bigger economy and a much more inclusive economy, without doubt. I think the real debate is how do we get there? And so the goal is not on the table as far as CDE is concerned. And we're really saying we need to develop an alternative, but we first should start with an evidence-based review of how have we done over the last 20, 25 years? What has worked if anything, and I think there have been one or two things, but we don't actually know. And then what hasn't worked? At what cost? Has it been supportive of economic growth, or are there big obstacles through the mechanisms we've adopted for broad-based Black economic empowerment that prevent us from growing the economy much more rapidly? But we're saying we've got to start there. Lots of people throw accusations around. Our position is we're in favor of a much more inclusive economy and a much larger participation by Black South Africans in all sorts of ways in that economy. So you've got to expand and change the structure of opportunity. How we do that is something we need to look at evidence as much as possible and probably develop real alternatives, which is something we're going to be working on at CDE for the next while.
That's hard work, you know, doing the research, actually quantifying things. So interesting today to see what came out from the Free Market Foundation and Solidarity Research Institute. They spent many months, I spoke to the two authors of the report, and they say they're way open to be challenged, but they've got lots of issues or lots of references. And their conclusion is that BEE, the way it's been implemented in South Africa, has cost the country 4 million jobs, and the economy is, well, significantly smaller than it would have been. And economic growth, we all know, has really not been firing. And then there was the other thing I'd love you to talk about that, that the OECD researchers were in town last week, in Joburg town last week, and they said that we have got the worst regulations for the promotion of business in the world. We came stone last, and they were in our backyard to say that. So it seems as though there is so much evidence, but those who are making the rules are just doubling down on stuff that hasn't worked.
Look, I haven't seen the research coming out of the Solidarity and the Free Market Foundation. I would like to see it. Our assessment is that would be quite hard to really prove, but I haven't seen their report, so I can't comment. The OECD reports, that's in some ways a different issue. So let's talk about small business development and regulations, which is something we've thought a lot about. We brought out a report late last year on the state of small business in South Africa and what we think we're getting wrong. Now, the first thing is we're an overregulated economy. Absolutely. When you raise that issue, it sounds so boring to most people, but in fact, it is not only essential, but it is inherently about vested interests. And many people say to me, oh, I'm happy to talk about red tape and deregulation, but you're not allowed to raise BEE or localization or procurement or anything else. And I disagree with them, and CDE disagrees. And we're saying, well, let's compromise. Why don't we go out and talk to small businesses or medium-sized firms? And they'll tell us what are the big obstacles to growth. So let's do it that way around rather than some talking heads sort of fighting with each other. So that's the first point. The second point is there's a big assumption in government that government officials will be good at identifying small firms that need help, in knowing what sort of support to give them. Loans, grants, mentoring, skills, all sorts of things implicit in the Transformation Fund document. But it's this belief that a mega fund run by government and then to perform all sorts of functions to help small business is going to work. In our view, building a dynamic small business sector, which we hope become bigger businesses and employ more people, this is a hard job, and actually we have experts in the country to do this hard job, and they're based in the private sector. That doesn't mean the private sector is perfect by any means, but we've come up with, we did a lot of research, Alec, a few years ago. We sent a research team into government and we said, tell us how much government spends on small business help, promotion, whatever. And they came back kind of scratching their heads and said, well, it looks like it's around $6 billion a year, which is a lot of money. But we cannot find any evidence or of evaluation or impact. So it's a bit like corporate South Africa reports where they say, oh, we helped 100 firms. The same in government. You know, we helped 100 small farmers. We helped firms in the township. But nobody, who cares? Nobody ever tells you, were they still alive a year later or 2 years later? Did they expand? What did your help do? What did your money do? And we're saying, let's have a very different approach. Let's have a take, let's half the money that government spends to promote small business and have a really transparent competition where you say to private sector entities, give us proposals of how you will spend a portion of this money. Say, over 3 years, 9 billion rand, also a lot of money. Tell us how you'll do it. Tell us what your metrics will be. Tell us how you're going to report to the country once a year. And let's see what happens. We think the private sector are the place to put your hopes and get them better at helping smaller businesses, but not some official who, through no fault of their own, probably comes from a family or community that doesn't know much about small businesses or how to grow them. What makes us think that they can identify dynamic small businesses to support and help grow? So that would be our philosophy on an experiment, let's say, to test out a different approach to the small business sector, which is pretty stagnant. So inherent in the Transformation Fund is this idea that officials, a state-run fund, is going to be a better way of dealing with promoting successful, dynamic small black firms than any other, than the private sector. And one of the most concerning things is that this proposal, and it's probably the key source of funding for this 100 billion rand in government's mind, is the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Codes, which have encouraged and promoted large companies bringing small black firms into their value chains. And this seems to be one of the successful areas of black economic empowerment, where it looks like it's about 26 billion rand a year is spent by collectively by a whole lot of big companies. And they either mentor or help small black firms to get into their value chains. They train them in whatever they need, whether it's food safety or who knows, for the mines or whatever. But they then get services from these firms. So what would be better than that, where you engaged in real economic activity, which is linked to big companies? Now, the Transformation Fund is saying this could be a really good source of funding for our big fund. Let companies give us that money voluntarily. But then deep down in the document, it looks like if it doesn't work voluntarily, we will ensure a change to the BEE code. So it's mandatory. And we'll sort of spend that money. And we're saying this is counterproductive. It looks like something viable and sustainable is happening. And why would you want to disrupt that? Maybe we should do more research into this, but from everything we can see, you have small black firms getting mentoring, training, and so on. And this is exactly what we want. We're getting economic reality and bringing new firms into the economy. Great. Why change this?
That assumption of allocation of capital, and we know that that is probably the toughest job in the world, is to allocate capital. The Americans have a science. It's a business science in America, or business is a science in America. And the top priority is to allocate capital efficiently. So you have the smartest people in the world. And now you're going to give it to some public servant who probably hasn't worked in business, and they're going to be able to allocate capital efficiently by their assumption. And worse, the point that you make now, is they're going to stop something that is working and try and beat that system. What's behind all of this, though? Where do these people who make these decisions, are they arrogant? Or is it Dunning-Kruger, you know, that you actually, the less you know, the more you think you know? Where does it all start?
Look, it's hard to say. I think for a lot of people in government, in my experience, there is an enormous faith in the state. And this is hard for me to understand, because our current state is weak and corrupt in the main. You know, not every single place, but this is a weak state. And yet, people will say this, both in the outside government and inside government. They'll say the state is weak and they can't do this and they can't do that, and state capture and cadre deployment. But then in the next breath, they want the state to do all sorts of things, and it doesn't make sense. So I think there is enormous faith in the state. I think there is enormous suspicion of the private sector. There are assumptions that it's very concentrated, it's racist, and it doesn't let new black firms in. Now, this assumes nothing's changed in the last 30 years, which is hard for me to understand. I don't think the private sector is perfect at all, but we now have a lot more managers and people in the private sector who are black South Africans. So I think that there is one of the things that's happened in the country, you know, when Mr. Mandela went to Davos and changed his view about how markets should work and the economy should work, and Thabo Mbeki did as well, what they failed to do is to persuade the rest of the ANC, never mind the broader voting public, that this is why I changed my mind. It's not like there was a campaign by them or business, one has to say, on this is why markets are good for the poor or good for or most of South Africans. This is how we grow. So we have failed as a society to persuade people of the benefits of market-led growth, which is not perfect, as you and I know, but boy, it's hard to see any other way in which to grow. So there's an inherent suspicion, which is of big companies, that I think is very unfortunate, and we have failed to penetrate that. My last point would be, don't forget a lot of this, from localization to procurement to BBB, you know, broad-based or whatever, has opened the door to a lot of corruption. It's not necessarily the policy, or some parts of the policies are bad. It's that it's kind of legitimized. Some people who are well-connected can get rich very fast, and that is an unhealthy attitude in a society where, yes, we need to build a black middle class and a black elite. That's essential for stability and political, the way in which we want the country to go. But we've done it in a very unfortunate way, and that elite is very small. So only It's not 100 people. It's more people who've benefited from deals with companies and so on and so forth. But the challenge of building a kind of expanding middle class and elite has not been dealt with well. We're struggling with that. Now, of course, all of this, you're going to struggle if the economy's not growing. And if you have a useless education system and a terrible skills training system and the TVETs don't work and the CETAs don't work. But the challenge is how do we do this in a way that is cognizant of our legacy of apartheid, but really brings as many people into a new structure of opportunity. We've got to massively expand opportunity and chances so that people who've been denied this or their families have been denied this for so long can have the sort of opportunities you and I have had and then create empowerment themselves. When we're not getting this right and the conversation in the country isn't dealing with this well, in my view.
Anne Bernstein is the head of the CDE, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.